Okay. We're on Tezvav. We're going to start all the way at the bottom of the page, second line. But let's just continue, let's explain what's going on until now. The Gemara was discussing the difference between a negative commandment, which is followed by a positive commandment, or if the positive commandment comes before the negative mitzvah. And the Gemara said that if it's a positive mitzvah following a negative commandment, meaning the positive mitzvah rectifies the negative mitzvah, don't steal, give back what you stole, so everybody says you don't get malchus, you don't get lashes. If the mitzvah says, say, followed the negative mitzvah, like it says by the rapist, marry her, do not divorce her. So then, Rabbi Yochanan said, you do get malchus. Okay? You do get malchus. So the Gemara asks the question, what's relevant to this piece of Gemara coming up now. The Gemara asks, but they don't understand, the whole source of malchus we learn out from the Sachsim Shar Bedishe, that you shouldn't muzzle an animal when you make it work in the field. And that's because that's next to the Pasuk of Malchus. So from there we learn out that any negative commandment that a Jew transgresses, you get Malchus. But the Gemara said, but over there, there's no positive mitzvah, not before, not after. Right? And yet, so how do we liken it to that mitzvah? And the Gemara answers, the difference is as follows. The negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah, like we said before, the positive mitzvah fixes what you did. So if it fixes what you did, then you don't get malchus. But if the negative mitzvah comes after the positive mitzvah, so the positive mitzvah is not fixing the negative mitzvah. The Torah says, marry her, don't divorce her. So marrying her doesn't rectify the don't divorce her, so then you would get malchus. Basically, that is what we're up to in the Gemara now. So the Gemara says as follows. Hey, Nicha Laman de Yomar, that's only good according to the opinion that says, Bitle Vile Bitle. That the case, when does a negative mitzvah rectify when does the positive mitzvah rectify the negative mitzvah? That until you made it in a way that you can't do the positive mitzvah, you're not going to get whipped. Meaning as follows. And the Mefarshim explain it very interestingly, so it just explains it in a way that it makes much more sense. When the Torah says, don't do something, and then the Torah says, fix it by doing something. Okay? Does that mean, and this is an argument that the Gemara is going to discuss, Besdin says to you, you stole, give back the money. You don't give back the money, you get whipped right away. Besdin gives you opportunity, fix what you did. You say no, Besdin's going to whip you right away. That's called, in the Gemara over here, kimu v'lei kimu. Either you did it or you didn't do it. Besdin says, you did an aveira, you want to fix it. Do it. Fix it. You don't want to fix it, you're going to get whipped. Okay, that's one way of looking at it.
Rabbi.
That, one second. The other opinion says, no, it's bitlei v'lei bitlei. What does bitlei v'lei bitlei mean? As long as you have the ability to fix what you did, you're not going to get malchus. You're not going to get whipped. If you made it impossible to do the positive mitzvah, that's when you're going to get whipped. The first opinion says, you have to fix the mitzvah. You don't fix it right away, Besdin's going to whip you. The other opinion says, bitlei v'lei bitlei, the only time you're going to get whipped, if you made it impossible to keep the positive mitzvah. Like, does the positive mitzvah send away the mother bird, right? Don't take the eggs. You know, send away the mother bird. If you kill the mother bird, it's impossible to send them away. So then you would get whipped. You got rid of the stolen object completely. There's no way you can give it back. That's when you're going to get whipped. But if there's still a possibility a year later, 10 years later, that you're going to be able to give it back, then you're not going to get whipped. The other opinion says no. Kimu v'le kimu means You did a negative commandment, you should be whipped right away. We gave you an opportunity to make it up, but immediately. You either make it or you don't make it. Right? So then, in other words, what does it mean? The way the Mefarshim explain it is very interesting. When you have a positive mitzvah following a negative mitzvah, is it one mitzvah or is it two? For instance, somebody does an aveda. Okay? Does that mean right away you sinned? That's it. You deserve malchus right now. But the Torah says, you know, you can fix it. We'll give you an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you'll fix what you did. But really, you did the negative commandment already, and you already deserve to be whipped. You deserve to be whipped because you did an aveda. We're going to give you one chance to fix what you did. The other opinion says no. When the Torah gives you a negative commandment followed by a positive mitzvah, you really didn't transgress the negative commandment. Unless if it's impossible to keep the positive commandment, that's when you really transgress the negative commandment. Because as long as you still have the opportunity of fixing the mitzvah, you never really did it. You never really transgressed it. One second, what?
Rabbi, let's be realistic. Joseph, I'll forget the name, a man rapes a woman.
Yeah.
If he's caught, he pays a price. He pays a price. He goes to prison for a long time.
We're talking Jewish law, no?
No, but let's be realistic. You're talking about a guy rapes this woman, and he should marry her right away, so he did the positive thing after the negative thing. But so many rapists get away with it. Many robbers get away with robbing stores and people.
Not in Torah. They don't. In this corrupt system we have today, they get away with it. They pay off the judge a little bit.
No.
But in Torah law, there's the, you know, if you had witnesses and you were caught, you got punished.
They don't pay off the judge anything today.
There was no... Pleasant dreams. There was no... According to Torah law, by the way, this whole Indian of death row, of waiting 5 years until they finally kill you, or this, is against Torah. According to Torah law, if a guy was sentenced to death, he had to get killed the same day they sentenced him. You're not allowed to even stay it overnight. And that's why Beis Din made up a decision, let's say late in the afternoon, that they couldn't give it already yet. They waited for the decision until the next morning. They right away gave the decision and right away put the guy to death. Because according to Torah, it's torture, a cruelty, for a guy to know he's dying and to wait 5 years until he gets killed. It's mamish torture. Torah says, the guy did an aveira, he has to get punished to cleanse what he did. It's forgiveness for what he did. You do it right away, what's he waiting for? Malchus is right away. There's no, okay, in 10 years from now we'll give him lashes. The guy was guilty, Beis Din gave him lashes right away.
Rabbi, the law says you can't do that.
I know.
We have a law.
We have a better law, Torah it's called.
But not everybody follows the Torah.
We're talking here Jews. I mean, we're talking Torah class. What?
I was wondering, if someone did something like chazer or something, and he wanted to do tshuva for it before they gave him lashes.
No good.
I mean, in
tshuva will not help.
In this case, when we're talking about a time frame,
but this is only when the Torah rectifies the negative with a positive. The Torah says, don't eat chazer. That's it. You eat chazer, you're going to get whipped. The way the Rishonim explained this argument over here, like we just said, one opinion says, even a mitzvah, an aveda, connected to a positive mitzvah, as soon as you did the negative mitzvah, you're supposed to get lashes. You did the aveda. Fully, 100% you did the aveda. The Torah is a nice guy, and the Torah says if you fix it by doing immediately, a positive mitzvah will get you off the hook. Okay. The other opinion says no. You can't get them off, he has a long time to get off the hook. Because the fact that the Torah says you can rectify it by committing the positive mitzvah, that means the Torah is saying basically you really didn't fully sin until you don't have the chance anymore to rectify it. That's called bitlei volei bitlei. If you broke the positive mitzvah in such a way that you can't keep it, that's when you're going to get lashes. And the Gemara is going to explain the interesting logic of their argument. The Gemara later, on the next page, is going to explain the logic of their argument.
By eating chazer, you can't fix it.
The Torah doesn't say, eat chazer, throw up.
No, right.
It's not a mitzvah anywhere, but I'm saying, if the Torah would say, I don't know what the Torah could say, I mean, by stealing, it says, you sin, give it back.
Right.
You know, you divorced her, remarry her. You know, you bought chametz, destroy it, you know. That's a separate mitzvah. It's not connected to that particular aveda. Yeah, there's a positive mitzvah by every aveda, do tshuva. It's a mitzvah to do tshuva, right? But it has to be connected to that particular negative commandment. You can't say, the Torah says, don't eat chazer, and the other end of the Torah says, do tshuva. Like by the classic example of stealing. Don't steal. Right away the Torah says return it. That rectifies the negative commandment. Okay, let's see a little bit in the Gemara. So Gemara asks now, all the way at the bottom of the page, that's only according to the opinion that says, bitli. That the only time you get malchus is if you did it in such a way that it's impossible to fix the mitzvah. But according to the opinion that says, Kimu v'le kimu, ma'ika l'meimar, what could you be said? Meaning, how can Rav and Ravina say that he has a lifetime to do it if he doesn't fail to do it right away? When Bezdin gives him the opportunity, he should get Malkus right away. So the Gemara answers, midu taima el Rabbi Yechanan. You're asking the question on Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says, take bitli chayev le bitli pot, meaning as follows. The Gemara's question is, Rabbi Yechanan said a statement that if you don't fix it right away, then you're going to get malchus. So the Gemara says, but that's only good according to the opinion that says you have to fix it right away. But according to, you know, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan Taka holds, you have the lifelong opportunity of doing the mitzvah. So therefore, you're not going to get malchus as long as you still have the ability. The Gemara says, it's only good according to the opinion of bitli v'lei bitli. But according to the other opinion, it's no good. So Gemara said, you're right. Rabbi Yechanan holds bitli v'lei bitli. Rabbi Yechanan holds like the opinion that as long as you have the opportunity of doing the mitzvah, you don't get malchus.
Who's supposed to establish that? I mean, the best thing is going to be around 20 years to see if he's able to do that.
Yep.
Who's going to say if I'm forever able to do that until 20 years?
Yeah, but unless if the mother bird dies, then he's going to get malchus. In other words, the question is: it a delayed malchus? You know what I mean?
Do they force the rapist to marry a girl?
Yeah. Bezdin.
Force them within a certain time frame.
Yeah, right away.
Rabbi.
Bezdin. Bezdin had authority in those days. Because all the Jews were in Israel under the Bezdin rule. Bezdin was the supreme court of the land. I mean, they shaved and v'shaved, and they had policemen enforcing the laws. Bezdin said, you have to marry. If a guy was supposed to divorce and he didn't, Bezdin beat the living daylights out of the guy. Bezdin did it. Until he did it. Bezdin had control of what they have to do. What?
Rabbi, I gotta be practical. If this man rapes this woman...
You're into the rapist, are you?
Yeah. Is she going to marry this bum?
You asked me that last time four times. And we said, yeah.
I'll never believe it. And the other thing is, if a guy robs a bank, he's going to give the money back to the bank? No way, Jose.
So then he'll get whipped.
What if he's not caught?
The sin is not stealing.
The sin is not giving back?
No, the sin is getting caught.
Absolutely. Spoken like a true lawyer.
What? What happens if he spends the money? Or he stole an object. That's the money you can always forget. He stole an object and he broke the object. Then you get malchus. It's not a question of Bezdin being around forever. It's on Bezdin's record, so to speak. The guy has a record. No, if the object is still there, you have to give back the object. Unless if a guy, let's say, stole a beam and built it into a house, and in order to give back the beam, he's going to have to take apart the house. So Beis Din, out of a leniency, because who's going to want to do tshuva if the guy has to undo the house and give back the beam? So over there, Beis Din was lenient, and Beis Din said, you know what, in that case, give back the money. But if you steal a beam, and the beam is there, you steal a microphone, the microphone is still there, you must give back the microphone. You can't say, you know what, I'm going to keep the microphone, I'm going to give you cash. You're not allowed to do that. Obviously, if the guy says, I don't care what you give me, fine. But if the object is there, you have to give back the object.
If you burnt the beam,
then you have to pay money. Because the question is, by Veheshev is Exela, is money also considered? Are you Mekayim the Mitzvah with returning the money? Which you are. In other words, the fact is, if the object is there, you have to give back the object. But halachically, if a guy gave back money, he still did the Mitzvah. Because it's the value of the object. It's part of the process of the tshuva.
Part of the process.
Yeah, you can't say, a guy can't say, okay, I'm making a habit out of stealing and giving back. Because if I get caught, you know, if I don't get caught, it's fine. But that's not tshuva. Tshuva, part of the mitzvah of tshuva in that case is to rectify, but you also regret what you did and make up your mind not going to do it for a hobby or for a living.
The way it seems like, okay, he gives it back and he did a mitzvah.
He did a mitzvah which rectified. Let me explain something. Returning a stolen object is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Okay? Now, obviously, if you didn't steal, you can't fulfill that mitzvah. Correct? Does that mean the Torah says to a Jew, okay, listen,
steal something,
because otherwise you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah giving it back.
Or marry somebody in order to...
There's a mitzvah in the Torah to divorce. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs is divorce. So the Torah's not saying... It's a mitzvah to marry somebody and divorce her because it's a mitzvah in the Torah to divorce. That's not what we're talking about. The mitzvah is that if they're breaking up, they have to be done through a get, like we said. Oh, a lot of mitzvahs are like that. Mezuzah is like that. Shechita is like that. Tzitzis is like that.
Fence
around the roof that we just read. There's no mitzvah in the Torah. You have to buy a house with a roof and build a fence on the roof. He's rectifying the Malkus aspect of the Aveda he did.
Yeah.
And because of that, he's not going to get whipped. To say he's clean slate that he didn't do an Aveda, I don't know. I don't think in Ruchnius, the guy still did an Aveda. He didn't, you know, if a guy makes a habit of stealing, giving back, just to do mitzvahs, I don't think I'm going to say he's doing mitzvahs. Look how he's such a frum yid. He's giving back everything he steals. He steals and gives back, steals. He's a frum a yid, you know. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to shecht. We learned this many times. There's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to eat meat and shecht. If your guy wants to be vegetarian, I mean, you don't have to eat meat. The Torah says, if you want to eat meat, you have to shechita. You have to do shechita. The Torah says, if you have a house, you need to do a mezuzah. Right? Put a mezuzah. If you want to live in your car, you want to live in the park bench, you don't have a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah. There's a condition. If you have a house, then the Torah says you have to put up a mezuzah. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to put up a mezuzah. Certain mitzvahs you have to keep. Lulav and Esrig on Sukkis, or Shefer coming up in the season, the Torah doesn't say, well, by the way, if you have a Shefer, you have to blow it. No, the Torah says you have to get a Shefer and you have to blow it. The Torah doesn't say, if you have tefillin, wear them. The Torah says, you must wear tefillin. By tzitzis, the Torah doesn't say, biblical, that you have to wear tzitzis. The Torah says, if you have a four-cornered garment, you need to put tzitzis on it. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to get tzitzis. If I don't want to wear clothing, I don't want to wear four-cornered garments. You know? And basically the clothes we wear today, except the tzitzis, are not four-cornered. Right? So somebody's not mechuyev. I mean, I'll tell you to do it. He doesn't want to wear it. He doesn't have to wear it. But certain mitzvahs, the Torah demands, like tefillin. Again, tefillin a Jew has to put on every day, except Shabbos.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I got to give you something for the whole congregation. I've watched a lot of people here put on their tefillin. They never go, Varashtich li
le'olam, I don't either.
Barachmam, Yashli, those three little things.
I know. Ashkenaz also does it.
And after they put on the shel rosh,
they make
to wipe their hands on the wall and say, then say the bracha. I don't see that.
Because we don't do that.
Why?
We're not
the
so
Torah
religious.
Said that.
We're not. The Torah doesn't say that.
So my rabbi didn't know what he was saying?
I didn't say he didn't know what he was saying.
That's a minute. And then the kishtet.
You didn't pay him enough. That's what he told you. Okay.
Ayvei.
So the Gemara says, what?
In the case where Beit Din vows high mitzvah, they have to kill him right away. What if there's some cases that they waited for Yom Tov to kill him from the other way?
There are some types of skila over there that says, what's the lashon of the pasuk? That everybody should veroh. But then they didn't give the verdict until later, probably. According to the Torah, it's cruelty to prolong from the sentencing until the killing. There's a certain time, no, certain affairs, the Torah wanted everybody to see the way the guy was stoned, that people should learn. Yom Tov time, not Yom Tov. The Sevaro Eish Bezin is not to give any punishments in Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay, so how do we know Rabbi Yechanan is bitli v'li bitli? The Tana Tana come with Rabbi Yechanan, because a Tana learned a Brice in the presence of Rabbi Yechanan and said as follows. Kol mitzvah lei sasa, the Brice says the following din. Kol mitzvah lei sasa, any positive mitzvah, and I'm sorry, any negative mitzvah. She yesh bo kuma say this followed by a positive mitzvah. So ki yim esa shebo, if he did the mitzvah right away, potter, he doesn't get malchus. Bitlay asa shaba, if he nullified it completely, chayiv is chayiv. So that's basically a contradiction within itself. The first half of the Brisa says you have to do it right away, then you potter. Then he says if you nullify the ability to do it, then you get malchus. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yechanan said this. He said to his teacher, Maika Amida, what are you saying? Kiyim potter like kiyim chayiv? It can't be bitl chayiv like bitl potter. It can't be half and half. You can't say you get punished right away. No, I'm sorry. You can't say that if you did the mitzvah right away, you wouldn't get punished. And then you say if you nullified it, you would get punished. It's either did right away or not do right away, or nullified it and not nullified it. You can't mix the both together. And therefore, Rabbi Yechanan learns, Tani bitli v'lei bitli. Don't learn the braisa. Bitli and Kiyum, learn the whole Braisa, Bitli v'lei Bitli. Meaning Rabbi Yechanan holds, and this is Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, the way the Gemara's outcome is also, Rabbi Yechanan holds that you don't get whipped as long as you have the opportunity to possibly do the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah. The other opinion, like Rish Lakish says, Kiyum v'lei Kiyum. You have to do it right away, you don't get Malkus. You don't do the positive mitzvah right away, you're going to get malchus. So like we said, these are the two opinions. Reish Lakish says, when the Torah says, you did an Aveda, fix it. Okay? Reish Lakish shows, Bezin says to the guy, fix it now, or else you're going to get whipped. That's called kimu v'lei kimu. Rabbi Yechanan holds, not true. Bezin says, do it. But as long as you still could do it, a year later, 2 years later, it doesn't matter. You are not going to get whipped. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the argument between the two. And I have to give a preface of what the argument is about. There's a din. In order to get punished in Torah, you need to be warned. It's called Hasra. Hasra means two witnesses have to come to you immediately prior to the act and tell you. Like, for instance, a guy's about to eat chazer. Two witnesses come to the guy and say, listen, it's forbidden to eat chazer, and if you do, you're going to get whipped. That is the warning that the person has to get. Number one, that it's forbidden. Number two, what the punishment will be. If a guy is openly desecrating Shabbos, witnesses have to come to him and say, Boychik, you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos, and if you do, you're going to be stoned. Okay, so they have to tell him exactly what. Now the question is, what happens if you can't warn the guy that for sure you're going to get whipped? They're only going to tell him you might get whipped. Is that a valid enough warning? Because one way of looking at it is the guy could say, well, I might get whipped, I might not get whipped. It's 50-50. So I don't see the severity of the sin. The other opinion says, when you warn the guy, it has to be a definitive warning. Otherwise, no mak. And the other opinion... Right. What happens if you tell the guy, don't do it, because if you do it, you might get whipped. One opinion, the Gemara says, that's not a valid warning. Now, when a guy still has the opportunity for another year or two to fix the lav, what are you going to warn him? You're going to get Malchus? He might not. He's not going to get Malchus for years because he still has the ability to rectify the negative commandment by doing the positive mitzvah. So what type of warning is that? You tell a guy, listen, if you do this, you might get Malchus maybe 5 years from now when you burn the object that you're not going to be able to give it back, you know, or then you might get whipped. You know what I mean? That's not a definite warning. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a definite warning is not a valid warning. I mean, non-definite warning is not a valid warning. No, I'm sorry, I said what? Right. No, the guy doing it is enough, basically. If he gives the impression that he hears what you said and he's doing it, what does that mean? Who? But if the guy is told, if you do this, you're going to get whipped, and the guy does it, what is that saying? His action is speaking louder than words. He says, I don't care what you just told me. Right? Speaking, the guy heard what you said. He's not deaf. If he's deaf, you got a problem. Right? Then you can't warn him.
So what was this?
So the Gemara is going to explain as follows. Rabbi Yochanan holds a doubtful warning is also good enough. Therefore, 3 years down the road, if the guy is going to burn the object, that he's not going to give it back, he's still going to get whipped. When you warned him, it was doubtful what's going to be later. Rabbi Yochanan holds a good enough warning, he can get whipped. Reish Lakish holds the opposite. You can't whip a guy on a doubt. So therefore, it has to be right away. You're going to do it, you're saved. You're not going to do it, you're going to get whipped right now. That's a definite warning. Because Reish Lakish shows a doubtful warning was going to be a few years from now is no good. You know where you have this in educating kids? Adults are big babies, so in many ways it works by adults also. As we see in this case of Bez. People deal with now. Especially kids don't see the future. By them, only the now exists. If you tell a kid, if you do something wrong, I'm going to patch it 3 weeks from now. It's worthless. It's worthless. Oh, okay. It's worthless. Why is it worthless? Because the guy doesn't think about the future. The kid doesn't think about the future. It's way off in outer space somewhere. In Star Trek. It's who knows where it is. A kid needs instant reward and instant punishment. A kid does something good, you reward him now. You do something good, bad, you're going to be punished now. You know what I mean? It could even be, in a way, and this is relevant to this Gemara, by the way. You could tell a kid, if you behave, you're going to get a star on the chart. It's in the back also, some lights like that. Yeah, you get a star on the chart. Even though you tell the kids, when you get 10 stars, then you're going to get a game, yeah? But at least he's getting the reward now of one star. If you tell the kid, listen, if you behave, 3 weeks from now, I'm going to put a star on your chart. It's total worthless. According to Allah, it's the same thing. When you warn somebody, like we learned, it has to be immediately prior to the act. If you warn a guy, don't eat the chaz, if you eat it, you're going to get malchus. And 5 minutes later, he eats the pig, he's not going to get malchus. It has to be teich kedei dibur, it has to be immediately prior to the act. 5 minutes later, the Torah says he probably forgot about it already. It didn't register the severity of it. It's no good. So the Torah says, a doubtful hasro, is that really enough to scare somebody? You tell a guy, you might get malchus. So Rabbi Yechanan holds, it's good enough. So therefore, even though he might get malchus a year later, when he got rid of the positive mitzvah to fix it, Rabbi Yechanan, that's good enough warning. Reish Lakish holds, no, that warning is worthless. You can't whip a guy then. So what does Reish Lakish hold? Anytime the Torah says, fix the negative with the positive, Reish Lakish says, you either tell him to do it now, and he does it, he's not going to get whipped. If it's not now, you can't whip him. It's too late already.
I think that makes more sense. What did you say,
Sam? Reish Lakish makes more sense? But the Allah is like Rabbi Yechanan, what can I tell you?
I didn't hear what he said.
He said the second one makes more sense. No, according to Rabbi Yechanan. Well, let's see the Gemara inside. So now the Gemara asks, but my kamifligi, what are they arguing about? Middle of the page. So the Gemara says they're arguing basra sofik kamifligi. They're arguing whether a doubtful or questionable warning is called a valid warning or not. And the Gemara explains. Mar Saver, Rabbi Yechanan holds, Hasra Safik, Shmei Hasra. A doubtful warning is good. A doubtful warning is valid. Therefore, he holds that even though you might get Malchus, let's say a year later, when you nullify it, it's still valid. Mar Savar, and the other opinion, Reish Lakish holds, Hasra Safik Leishmei Hasra. A questionable warning is not a valid warning. And therefore, either the guy does it right away and gets whipped, I mean, doesn't get whipped, or if he doesn't do it right away, he's going to get whipped. What?
But a doubtful Hasra, you want to say in this case, I mean, in general, I mean, when you have a doubtful Hasra, I mean, in other types of warnings, like, would that be valid for... I mean, say like for like a case of skila or a case of a doubtful warning, would we say that's okay?
No, what do you mean doubtful warning? You might get...
You might get stoned.
The Gemara is going to explain a case of what a doubtful hasra is.
I mean, just to tell a guy, you might get stoned. The guy says, I don't care, and he does it. And I mean, is that good enough?
I'll give you an example. A guy doesn't know who his father is. Okay? There's two people. One of them is his father, and one of them's not. He doesn't know who his father is. How do you have such a crazy case? There's a possibility. Huh? In Harlem? That's not a crazy case, huh? No, a very simple case. The Chachamim said... Like we know, even today, this then applies today. If a husband passes away or divorces a wife, the wife is not allowed to remarry for 3 months, for 92 days. Why can a woman not remarry after divorce for 92 days? The truth is, the husband could remarry right away. A woman has to wait 92 days before she's allowed to remarry. Why is that?
I know.
Okay. Because a woman can give birth after 6 months, or after 9 months. Okay, it's possible. So if a woman, let's say, got married right after divorce and became pregnant right away, and 6 months later, well, 6 months after the divorce, she gave birth to a baby, who's the father? Did she give birth from the second husband after 6 months? Or she was really pregnant from the first husband 3 months before the divorce? So we don't know who the father of the kid is. Okay? He knows it's one of two people. He just doesn't know. There was no DNA then, and I didn't even know if it would help according to Taita either. But Lebel, we don't know who the father is. There's a din in Chumash. If you curse your father, Mekalul Aviv Imay, Meisumas, you get killed. If somebody hits the parent in a way that they make him bleed, the Torah says you get killed. So what happens if this rebellious kid is hitting both parents or cursing both of them? Now, he's warned. In order to get punished, you need to be warned, right? And we're going to talk about this on the next page. So the Gemara says, you need to be warned by Bezdin, by witnesses, yeah? Now, they don't know it's for sure his father. So when they say, don't curse the guy, don't curse your father, it might be his father, it might not be his father. So the question is, in that case, can he get whipped? One opinion says if he hit him simultaneously, both parents, or cursed both parents simultaneously, he's for sure going to get, well, one opinion, he's for sure going to get punished because he did it. You know, with the same warning, it was simultaneously, so then he will get punished. But if one came after the next, it's a questionable warning on each one. Maybe it's not his father.
So the mother did marry
in every case?
492
days. Right, she didn't do what she was supposed to, and she got married to him. Right? Or she lived with him, whatever. Right.
In every case, there's a doubt, maybe the guy's not his father?
No. No, that's another. That's by a mishaberech, when somebody's sick. One of the reasons you use the mother's name is because that's definite. You know for sure who the mother is. The father, you hope you know it. Yeah, but I'm saying, because brought down, even b'nei mishbech. No, even if you know the parents, I mean, in most cases. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Va'ozdu l'tamayu," and the Rebbe Yochanan and the Shlokish follow their pattern, follow their opinions in a different place, because there's another case of a vow. Shvua sha'echol kikar zehayim. What happens if a guy says, "I swear, I make a vow, I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today"? V'aver ayem v'lo yochlan, the day passed and he didn't eat it. Does he get whipped or not? So Rabbi Yechon v'Rish Lakish, Amit Tavayo, both of them say, ein aleik, he doesn't get whipped. But they're arguing, why not? What's the argument? Rabbi Yechon and Amit aleik, Rabbi Yechon says you don't get whipped. Why? Because, davalav she'ein b'maisa. It's a negative commandment that no action took place. Remember, we learned already in the past, in order to get punished for a negative commandment, you have to do something. You need an action. You ate the pig. You did something active. If a guy makes a vow that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today, and he didn't, did he do an action? He didn't do an action. The vow is not a sin, because if he ate the bread, you know, it's fine. But a guy makes a vow, he is going to eat the bread that day. That's not a sin. Because if he eats it, it's fine, right? Now he didn't eat it. How did he transgress the vow? Not by doing something. See, much of the other case, the opposite is simple. If a guy says, I won't eat the bread today. The guy says, I swear I'm not eating bread today. And he eats bread. So he did an action which transgressed the vow he made. He ate bread when he swore he isn't. But If a guy swears, I will eat the bread, and doesn't, so Rabbi Yechon says, how can you whip him? He didn't do anything.
So that's true with every neder.
Yeah, 1 second. No. If the neder is, I won't eat it.
No, every
neder. Right, Eichonami. We'll see. Yeah, but.
Does a vow, like, have to include Hashem's name to be.
No.
Also, what if he says, I won't eat the bread, then he eats the bread, then he has his vows annulled?
He's still going to get punished.
It's not retroactive.
Sometimes the things are retroactive, sometimes not. Depends if he nullifies it from retroactive or from now on. If somebody makes a shvur without it, a shvur of Bezdin or a shvur that a guy makes himself? Shvur is a general word. Bezdin makes a guy swear to use the name of God. Yeah, they use the name of Hashem, sure. But if a guy says, I swear I will eat bread today, that's a vow even if he didn't say any God's name. He doesn't have to say, I swear by God's name that I'm going to do it. If a guy says, I promise or I swear, rather I swear, that I'm going to do something today, he has to do it.
He doesn't say, I swear.
What does he say?
I'm going to do it.
So then the halacha says, it's not a vow, but you really should keep what you say. What you said, because the Torah says, Meitzah sasecha tishmer. What comes out of your mouth, that's why the Rebbe always writes, you should always say, bli neder. When somebody donates tzedakah, it should always be bli neder. If you look in the Yisker books, when it says in the Yisker prayer, that I'm going to give tzedakah, so if you notice, it's a no, bli neder.
And what if he says, bli neder?
No, bli neder doesn't mean I don't have to do it. Bli neder doesn't mean I don't have to do it. But if you don't do it, you're not transgressing a vow. That's the issue.
So we're going by the second opinion.
No, I was explaining both opinions. So Rabbi Yechanan says that if a guy makes a vow that he will eat bread that day and he doesn't, everybody says you don't get whipped. But the question is why? So Rabbi Yechanan says you don't get whipped because he did no action. And any negative commandment that didn't have an action, ain't like you don't get milked. The Shlakish says, ain't like you don't get whipped for a different reason. Why not? Because it's hasra safik. It's a questionable warning. When you warn the guy when he made the vow, right? When do you have to warn him? When he made the vow. When he made the vow and he said, I swear I'm going to eat bread today. So Bezdin has to warn him, hey, boy chick, make sure you keep it. He might keep it, might not keep it. It's a questionable warning. Reish Lakish says you can't give Malkus in a questionable warning. So what do you see from here? Rabbi Yechanan is not agreeing with Reish Lakish. That means Rabbi Yechanan says if it would be an action, you would get Malkus, even though it's a questionable warning. Because Rabbi Yechanan is of the opinion that even a questionable warning gets Malkus. Reish Lakish holds a questionable warning doesn't get Malkus. If it doesn't get Malkus, he can't whip the guy.
The warning comes when the guy's making the vow or when he's about to eat the bread. Or not.
No, if the guy swore he's going to eat it and then he doesn't. So when is the warning coming?
So it has to come. If it's negative, then.
It has to come when the guy made the vow. But they can't tell him you're going to get Malkus because if he eats the loaf, he's not going to get Malkus. So it's a questionable warning.
Rabbi, what happens here? Couple are married and the husband tells the wife, you're so gorgeous, I love you, I'll never go to bed with another woman. Bingo. A week later, he goes to bed with another woman.
Yeah.
Now, she committed adultery.
I don't know if he committed adultery.
He's lied.
Depends who the other woman is. It's a single girl, it's not adultery. In Torah law.
Really?
In Torah law, a man could have many wives. Not nowadays, but in those days.
not adultery if a man goes to bed with another female, even though she's not married? He's married to his wife.
It's not called adultery in Torah law. It's forbidden, by the way. I'm not saying it's allowed or a mitzvah.
Kobe Bryant went to bed with another woman.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant. That's why he's a very firm Jew.
For like in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, they would see a Jew about to do an Avera or making a vow. It's commendable for them to run over there and warn him on it.
If a person was doing an Avera, the Torah said, if you see testimony, you have an obligation to tell it. Im lo yagid v'nas aveini. In fact, we learned that what the Torah says, if you see testimony, you don't testify. You transgress a negative commandment, right? But the truth is, you can't get whipped for that either because it's no action again. You know what I mean? It's no action. You didn't go to Bezdin. It's not that you. But the Gemara is going to discuss this now. From where do we, like, so to speak, where do you know from that a lav without action doesn't get whipped? Maybe you do. What?
One question. Let's say he made a Shavua, but he used one of Hashem's other names, like Rachum.
A shvua has nothing to do, a shvua about eating food? You don't have to mention God's name. I said, if you just say, I swear I'm going to eat this loaf of bread, the guy has to eat it. That's a vow.
The word 2000 said it's destroyed because of that.
Yeah, because... Right, people used to vow and not keep it. But chlal, it says in halacha, even if you know you're going to keep it, you still shouldn't make vows. Just do it. What are you making vows for?
Wow.
That's what he said, no?
We're true.
Dal Treb brings it down Shulchan Aruch. In Kuf Nun Vav, Dal Treb brings it down Shulchan Aruch.
Why would they swear things that were true?
No, he said they were punished because he used to swear too much. Even though they kept him, it was true and everything.
Like,
there's what's called shvur shav. In halacha, there's something you're not to swear a vain vow. For instance, the Gemara says halach shulchan aruch. If a guy says, "I swear that the sun is the sun," I need his vow to swear that the sun is the sun. It's a wasted vow. Okay, so it's called a vow. So. Did he lie? He didn't lie, but it's so obvious what he's swearing. You know what I mean? So there's what's called shvur shav, not only false shvur. They see Hashem Hashem alakach ala shav. The Gemara learns doesn't only mean don't in the second one of third of the Ten Commandments don't swear in Hashem's name in vain. It doesn't only mean falsely. It means shav means for no reason. In Torah law, we don't swear in the Bible. Say I affirm, basically. That means I guarantee that what I'm saying is true. But the Jews should try not to swear, especially on a tray for Bible.
You have to mention God's name.
No, it's basically over there. It refers to, again, there's a lot of different types of a shvur. If a guy says, I swear I'm going to eat the loaf of bread, he doesn't have to say God's name. But if a guy says, I swear by God's name that the sun is the sun, then it's a different type of shvur. Then you need to say God's name to make sure to make it a valid shvur. You see in Chumash, Hashem, by the Meraglim, when he swore that nobody's going to see the land of Israel, you know, because of the spies, Hashem said, Chai Hashem. Hashem swore by his own name that then none of the Jews are going to see the land of Israel. They're all going to die in the Midbar. But the Gemara says, even to swear with Hashem's name on things that are true, the Gemara says, what do you do? You're like, it's still a sin. You don't swear that the sun is the sun. Of course, the sun is the sun. What is it? The moon. I mean, it's the sun.
Yeah, he told to tell you, so help me God.
Yeah. So help me God is not it's not an expression of a vow in Torah. So help me God. I mean, God should help me. I mean, we need it.
That's part of
part of the shvuah that we made. or a good custom that it did three times and they never said there's going to be bli neders. All these types of things. The Gemara says one of the reasons, and Halacha says one of the reasons why before Rosh Hashanah you nullify the vows is because it's something that people transgress so often. People say, I promise I'll do this, I promise you'll do this, and I swear, you know, and they're not doing it. You don't want to go to Rosh Hashanah with that sin on your head. It's a sin that Pashtun people are unaware of that they even sinned with that because they don't. Yeah, you make a shavuot and you forget, you don't even think about it, and you don't even realize you did it. You know.
Three times is the obligating measure?
No. For shavuot, you're only three times. Any good thing that you did three times and you didn't mention bli neder, not something you're obligated in. Something if, beyond the letter of the law that you did three times, like a minute, you did three times, and you didn't say at the beginning it's going to be bli neder, so then it becomes a neder, whether you like it or not.
Is that why when we do the nullifying the vows, say that we didn't say?
Yeah. And then we do more. Hey Nason, are you doing Lee? The ones that I know about. Hey Nason, Shainim, you doing Lee? That I don't know about. We nullify everything. Now the Gemara says, Tavaya Libud Rabbi Yehuda. Both go according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. What does it mean? It says in the Torah as follows. Leisesidu mimenu ad beker. Here's another case of a positive mitzvah following a negative mitzvah that there's an argument why you don't get whipped. I'll explain it first outside. You know, every, like we say in Ezel Mekayman in the morning before Hoidu, certain kabbanas are eaten for 2 days in the night, some kabbanas are eaten for 1 day in the night. Then the Torah says, Le'sisiru mimenu ad beker. You're not allowed to leave over the meat over there, speaking about the Paschal Lamb or whatever. Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to leave meat over until the morning. It's forbidden to leave it over until the morning. Then the Torah says, if you do, Ba'esh Tesreif will burn it. So it's an interesting lav because it's a double header. So to speak, the Torah says, don't leave it over until the morning, and if you do, burn it. So the burning rectifies the negative commandment. Right? That's one reason you wouldn't get Malkus. But there's another reason you wouldn't get Malkus either. You didn't do anything. You left over the meat until the morning. You didn't do an action. You just didn't eat it. So we know that you don't get whipped. The question is why? Is it because it's connected to a positive mitzvah? Or is it because there's no action?
There's no action.
There's an argument on
why you don't get whipped. Well, no, well, Muslims.
So there's an opinion that says even if there is no action, you do get whipped?
Yep. Huh? Well, yeah. Huh? No, but the question would be big halachic difference. What happens if the next morning the guy didn't burn it? He refused to burn it. Is he going to get whipped or not? If he's not getting whipped because it's no action, he's not going to get whipped regardless. Right? If it's because can rectify it by the positive mitzvah, and he nullifies the positive mitzvah, let's say, he eats it. He eats it in the morning. Yeah? The Torah says you got to burn it. This is not called burning, by the way. Okay, the Torah says you have to burn it. He eats it. Can he fix the mitzvah now by burning it? Unless he burns his own body. But he's not going to be able to fix it. Is he going to get Malkus or not? It's a big halachic difference. If the reason he's not getting Malkus is because it's a lav shem b'maisi, there's no action involved. So he's not going to get Malkus regardless because he didn't do anything. If the reason is because his positive mitzvah rectifies a negative mitzvah, if he can't do the positive mitzvah anymore, he's going to get whipped.
Well, isn't it is killing the mother bird, isn't it?
Right.
So.
Right, but then this is all interconnected in the reasons of getting malchus for negative commandments. And why, by certain negative commandments, you don't get malchus. Now these are, by the way, there's a bunch of logic over here. There is a logic to say, if I didn't do anything, I can't get punished. Just like, you don't get punished for not doing a positive mitzvah. If a guy doesn't put on tefillin, Bezin doesn't punish you. Bezin can punish you for something wrong you do. Something wrong you didn't do, how can you get punished for it? If a guy doesn't put on tefillin, right? And two witnesses warn you a whole day, put on tefillin, put on tefillin, put on tefillin. You know, they warn you, the whole shtick, yeah? At the end of the day, you don't put on tefillin, Bezdin cannot punish you. For positive mitzvahs, of not keeping positive mitzvahs, except, like we said, circumcision, the Pesach, Korban Pesach, there is no punishment for positive mitzvahs, because he didn't do anything. So it's very logical to say, a negative commandment, like this, you're not allowed to leave the meat overnight, right? I transgressed the Aveda, but I didn't do anything. I transgressed it by not doing something. So one opinion says you can't get punished for it. And then another opinion says, well, forget that for a minute. When a negative is connected to a positive, and the positive rectifies the negative because it follows it, right? Then you don't get whipped either because you fixed it. But if the positive mitzvah comes first, then the negative mitzvah, Rabbi Yechonon before said in the Gemara, you get whipped. Because then you did a lav with an action. Okay.